I'll go upstairs. Do we have time?
Well, good morning, everyone. This is the call to order for the Economic Development Committee for Monday, October 4th. My name is Kathy Lanning, and I'm the chairman of this committee. And we have all our council members here. We do have a substitute, which we're very happy to welcome, Diane Lawrenson, who is here from the Water Commission in place of Chairman Rick Crosby. And so thank you so much for joining us today, Diane. Look forward to your input. And we are going to move on to the approval of the minutes. May I have an approval motion on the September 7th, 2021 meeting?
Move to approve.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Anyone opposed? Okay, so the approval is passed. And item number three is public comments. Is there anyone here from the public that would like to share any questions, thoughts, concerns? Okay, seeing none, we will move on to item number four. So this morning we're having a presentation regarding an economic development project located at Midtown. And actually there is a name for this, as you can see on the screen. It's called Gather, but instead of Greenville, it's Gather Mount Pleasant. And so what we will be hearing from the day is we're going to be calling up Mr. Mac Cross. Mac, if you'll come up and join us here at the podium. And Mac is the managing partner, principal, at a company that has already brought an incredible concept to Greenville that is already extremely well received, and he's going to give us more details. But what I wanted to share before he did is just to say that this is something that I remember reading about when I was reading the book before I got on council, ran for council, called Suburban Nation: The Rise of Sprawl and the Decline of the American Dream. I have quoted from that book before because years ago it used to be considered almost like the Bible of how to really develop an area better, and it dovetails beautifully with our comprehensive plan that was passed last year. And that is that if you have some degree of sprawl, if you have a lot of residential areas that don't have a lot of services near them, if you can retrofit those services into that area, it really improves the quality of life, shortens car trips, and just makes it better for everyone. So this is a great example of that, and we're going to give Max some time to tell us all about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. And thank you, committee, for the opportunity to present this morning. How do I switch?
I just want to say Max.
Okay, we'll do. So Mac Cross, managing principal, Four Oaks Property Group. Four Oaks, I created Four Oaks with my father and business partner, Doug Cross, 4 or 5 years ago. And Gather GBL, which you see here, was our first project delivered in February of 2020. That's when the project opened in Greenville. Our second project is called Burdett Central. It's in Simpsonville, South Carolina, just south of Greenville. It's a historic and textile tax credit project in downtown Simpsonville, and has some similar food and beverage and entertainment components. What is Gather GBL? Well, I'll back up just a second. So Four Oaks Property Group, our company's mission is to create places and to build community, and we happen to do that through real estate development. We're also passionate about lowering the barrier to entry for local, independent, small businesses. Gather GBL consists of 13 local, independent food and beverage operators in downtown Greenville. The barriers to entry conventionally in downtown Greenville are quite high in terms of a lot of capital, a lot of resources, a great network, and the ability to pay $35 per square foot, roughly over however many thousands of square feet for a restaurant. So what we did at Gather was create these small spaces that, again, provide a lower barrier to entry. And there were a lot of folks interested in that early on. So what is Gather GBL? Gather GBL is Greenville's kitchen table, a unique place to experience all five senses, connect with family, friends, and strangers, celebrate the city of Greenville and its people, nourish the soul as well as the body, escape the screen, and live in real life, and of course, a place to gather. What is it all about? So really, three main themes here. Community, building a public gathering space, first and foremost, hosting small local businesses, welcoming of all walks of life, family and dog friendly, and a platform for collaboration and philanthropy. Craft, curated local food and beverage businesses, artisan quality, distinctive architecture, and a unique experience, an experience the customer can really curate themselves in terms of what they're eating and drinking, where they're sitting, the programming that's happening at that time, et cetera. And restoration, we used in this particular project repurposed shipping containers for several of the units. It's an urban infill development, again, in the west end of downtown, backs up to the baseball stadium for those that are familiar with that area, locally sourced wherever possible and good for the soul. So we studied many projects when we were coming up with a vision for Gather Greenville, and it started with a domestic project, which you'll see next, but a lot of internet research. Unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to visit any of these projects, but here are just a few examples of those we studied online. Domestic inspiration. So my primary inspiration for this vision was my young family. I now have a 7, 5, and 3-year-old. And so we wanted to create a place where my family could thrive, could go out, have an experience, you know, have an affordable meal and not feel like we were disrupting everybody around us. And those opportunities are few and far between these days. So that was primary inspiration. Another main source of inspiration was this project called Steelcraft in Long Beach, California. On 0.2 acres, 8 or 9 food and beverage units, a small green space, communal dining area, a really neat kind of place that they've created here. I did get a chance to visit that one. I was there on a Sunday for lunch and dinner, and it was just amazing to see the number of strollers there, bikes, dogs. There were toddler birthday parties happening, business meetings, you know, all races represented, all ages represented. And we just saw how cool what they've created there and something we thought would fit really well into Greenville at that time. I may have mentioned this, but my dad and business partner is based in Greenville, which is why we started the business there. I'm a resident of Mount Pleasant, 1496 Gowlett Avenue. Been here for, I guess, 7.5 years now. So then the Hub 30A, which is on the Gulf Coast of Florida, drew some inspiration from there. So Gather GVL, these are just some sights and scenes from the project. We opened in February of 2020, which was not great timing. Four weekends open, trying to keep up with demand, and then of course the music stopped, and we were shut down for 7 weeks and opened back up in early May, and of course we've had a great year this year. Last year kind of ebbed and flowed a little bit in terms of the number of people that were coming to see us, but it after the initial moments of what does this mean for us, it became clear to us that what we had created, although not designed for the pandemic, was very adaptable to it. It's all open air for the customer, plenty of space to spread everything out, and people felt comfortable almost immediately when people started coming back out. So a few more images of Gather. This was from our anniversary party, so back in February of this year. We celebrated our 1-year anniversary. So here are some of the impact statistics from this project. It happened to be located in a South Carolina Opportunity Zone. We did not, you know, seek that opportunity out. In fact, when we started the project, that didn't exist. It represents a private investment of greater than $5 million. It supported more than 100 construction jobs. It led to the creation or growth of 13 local businesses and more than 30 permanent jobs. Tax basis increase of 500%. And it serves as a great amenity for the surrounding community of businesses in Greenville and residences as well. unlimited community benefits. We always hoped that this project located on 0.45 acres would punch above its weight class in terms of community impact, and it really has, and that's been very gratifying for us. We have partnered with all sorts of local organizations and businesses and philanthropies to host public events at Gather. So then, of course, I am a Mount Pleasant resident, as I mentioned. After having two projects in the upstate delivered last year, I'm very ready for a local project, a project in my community where I can, you know, provide a positive impact. And as Kathy mentioned, 3.5 acres, roughly, in the Midtown community of Mount Pleasant. So there's the location, indicated by the logo there. So what we love about this particular site is it's very central in Mount Pleasant, very accessible. You see 526, Hungry Neck, 17, all converging here. And in terms of density, this is as dense as Mount Pleasant gets. That community has really, you know, grown up over the last 5 or 6 years. The apartments are there, the senior housing, medical office, the townhome, single family residential, all of that is very walkable, very bikeable to this location, not to mention access to rifle range, and again, up 17. So this is our conceptual site plan. I'll say with all of the plans that I'm going to show, it's all a moving target at this point. We're early in the process. We're in our preliminary design and due diligence stage, so nothing is set in stone. Our intent here with Gather MTP is to improve upon and expand upon what we've learned in Greenville. And like Greenville, the anchor will be a food and beverage collective that will draw most of the foot traffic. And also, like Greenville, there will be an opportunity to host community events here to have boutique retailers benefit from some of the foot traffic being created and to host you know, office workers, small office users here. In addition, there is a hospitality component that we're showing kind of across the parking lot there with some of the additional real estate, which we're excited about, which we think will pair well with some of the community events and will just be a really unique offering here. So want to be really intentional about some of those complementary uses that we discovered with Gather GVL and now have an opportunity again to kind of really focus on in addition to the food and beverage. So these are just some initial massing studies with the real estate, with the design, just an idea of what it could look like again very early on, and all of this is subject to change. Just to give you some context, to the right of the screen is the, I think about a 1 acre park. And then in the background would be the Lennar townhomes. And then in the foreground, that is Midtown Avenue. And so kind of a featured entrance right there in the corner of Midtown. Just a few more perspectives of that. This is showing the retail and office portion of the project, and we haven't studied the rest of the buildings in detail yet. That's why you're just seeing that. This is from kind of the middle of the project looking out towards the park and Midtown Avenue. These are some proposed elevations of the building. We use shipping containers in kind of a industrial chic look up in Greenville. It's not integral to our concept, and that worked really well in a former industrial area, the West End. Of course, in Mount Pleasant, the low country look is important and something that we will pursue in terms of the aesthetic for this design. We love I'm calling it Low Country Modern. I'm not sure that's an actual term, but the aesthetic created with the little shelter at the park and with some other elements around the townhomes. So potential economic impact of this project, it will represent a private investment of more than $30 million. It will create hundreds of temporary construction jobs, up to 50 resident small businesses. That's between the office users there, small offices, retailers, food and beverage units, and some additional businesses that will complement the project. And 50 to 70 new permanent jobs. It will represent a significant increase in the tax bases. It will, like Greenville, become an amenity for surrounding businesses and residences. And of course, we'll have unlimited community benefits. Like in Greenville, we will look to partner with anyone and everyone trying to gather people, promote causes, et cetera. So excited about the opportunity. So thank you for the opportunity to present. Happy to answer any questions. Go ahead.
Thank you so much, Mac. I'd like to start with a couple things, and I'm sure others will have questions too. First of all, I just wanted to mention a couple things that you and I discussed when you first shared this with me, and that was that we saw in the videos that there were performers, and so definitely in a gathering place with food and all of this, there would be, you know, different local artists and so forth.
Yes.
But I did ask the question, because it actually came up this morning, you know, how late at night, and he said that Gather Greenville closes down at 10?
On Friday and Saturday, 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock, the other days of the week.
Okay.
So yes, so it's meant to be a family-friendly environment at all times, not a late-night establishment. And so that's the case there and will also be the case here.
So I thought that would be a good thing to get out of the way right away.
Yes.
So, and what were the other things I wanted to make sure I mentioned? Well, others might have questions, but I do love the idea that I know what it was. So there's always a lot of concern, as is mine, when you're, you know, clearing areas and tearing down trees and so forth. And so I just want to make sure, if everybody can't picture this, this is that whole open area that really there's nothing there right now. So it would be, it's just a big old lot. And so it would be very, very nice to be able to, it's like hard to see there because the logo is sort of on top of it.
That's right.
But it is basically a big empty lot. So it would
be
something that would be additive and not tearing anything out.
That's correct.
So.
Yeah, no trees will be removed in the process.
Okay. So anybody else have questions?
And let me just add one thing to that, Kathy. So I'll walk y'all through the site plan just really quickly. The central area is artificial turf lawn. That's kind of the event area. The small red box within that lawn is the state live music stage. The circle also in that lawn is a proposed relocation of a grand live oak tree. It'll do a couple of things. We'll add some character to the site that's just a flat grassland right now. But also we'll save a tree that is slated for removal on an adjacent property there's a proposed redevelopment over there that this tree otherwise would be removed. So we're very excited about the prospect of one of those grand live oak trees being a central feature within our project.
Anybody else?
I'll just say I live in the area, and this is very needed. There's nothing really in the Midtown area that you can walk to.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to get in your car and drive to either end of town. So I've been hoping that something like this could come. And there are a lot of people. It's a very, you know, populated area. So
very
great.
Sounds perfect.
Thank you.
One of the things someone had said to me, gee, is there anything that economic development needs to do at this time? Or is that, you know, why is this being brought now? And I've been saying since the day I became chair in 2018 that we need to be proactive. And so one of the things that's nice about bringing this idea out now, while it's in very early stages, nothing is set in stone yet. You've heard Mac use terms like, you know, this is easily changed or fluid, whatever, is that if the public sees this and says, gee, I'd rather see this happen, or I'd rather have this added, or whatever. Who knows? It might be able to be part of the process so the community can actually work together, as opposed to hearing about something after the fact and saying, oh my gosh, why are we doing this? So this is a good example where we're going to be able to explore this over time and hopefully have something really wonderful for our town. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
All right. So our next item is an update regarding the Medal of Honor Museum and Heritage Center. And we're going to be bringing Tommy McQueenie to the table, the executive director. And I just want to say, timing-wise for this one is two things. First of all, one is that, as Tommy will tell you, they have just had a presentation in New York with the Medal of Honor Society.
Actually, in Boston.
Boston. But I was just going to say, and so it turned out, I called him and I said, could you do an update? And the other issue we have is we're coming to the end of the year, and one of the things the Medal of Honor Museum and Leadership and Education Center does need is fundraising, which they're well on their way on, but they do need the public to get more active, and they're going to be doing more things, and he'll talk about that too. But they now have the means to accept appreciated stock donations with no cost to the organization nor to the donor. And so just another thing to timeliness-wise as we come to the end of the year. So Tommy, if you'll take it from there, thank you.
Yeah, you know, we can start with the video because it may answer a lot of other questions. It's only 3 minutes and 21 seconds, if you don't mind. We'll play that, and then I'll come back up.
That's perfect. Thank you.
Okay. If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free, and I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say that I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
As you can see from this, we've made this presentation a couple weeks ago in Boston for the national meeting of the Medal of Honor recipients. They have a convention each year. What we were able to accomplish in the last couple of years is somewhat ironic in that dealing with the pandemic. We've been able to meet because of having the access to do Zoom meetings, and that's been fantastic. So our board has been meeting two and sometimes three times a week. If you can imagine, without the Zoom plan, we might not be anywhere near where we are now. What we've been able to do is hire all local folks, with the exception of the exhibit designer, who's out of Washington, D.C., Healy Kohler. We also, and all the local ones, you know most of them, Seaman Whiteside for our land planning. Our architect was Glick Bain, who did this wonderful building, 50,000 square feet, well within the zoning, well within the setbacks. And we've kind of gotten some help from the town of Mount Pleasant with making sure that we're where we need to be with that building. So we've got some more to do with engineering and so forth. We've also hired Momentum Marketing locally. You should see our website now. It's Medal of Honor LEC.org. I invite you to check it out. It's pretty nice. A major thing happened, and that is that we got a collaborative agreement with the Congressional Medal of Honor Society. So all this bad press and all that went on a couple of years ago, well, the museum is moving to Texas and so forth. Well, that's absolutely not true. Museum's on Yorktown, and the Medal of Honor Society made a commitment to us that they're going to be in Mount Pleasant. Whatever they're doing in Texas is fine. We support them. We think it helps the brand. But the National Medal of Honor Museum is designated by Congress in 1999, and that has not changed. And the Medal of Honor has gotten behind us, and they're staying here. That's major. We've also been able to work with them with their character development program to put together this medal program. Well, what is the medal program? Mission of education defining American leadership. What we've done is gone and taken a look at this. Do we want a museum, or do we want something that makes a much bigger difference to everybody in America? And we decided on the second. That is that this education program will be all across the country. We'll do it through existing college leadership programs, through a certificate program that has the Medal of Honor behind it. And the Medal of Honor Society, again, is happy with what we're doing with this. We've already made contacts with several institutions, one very obvious, the Citadel, but also through the Moore School in Columbia, Johns Hopkins, and several others that we're working on. So this program is kind of exciting. I think what we're all seeing is that there's a lot of division in the country. There's a lot of, there's really a lack of patriotism, it seems to me at least, that we need to rekindle. And we feel like this can do it. This is a leadership program that's hopefully will spread into other colleges than you saw on the screen as this grows. So it's got legs, so to speak. We also hired Blackbaud. This is the wealth management group that's right here. They're the largest in the nation, by the way, and they're right here in our community. And we've done some other, hires locally. Dan Rogge and Associates is our campaign consulting firm. We've completed our board campaign, and we're well into our private funding campaign, which is kind of your silent phase, but we've made initial contacts with four or five already that are seven-figure and eight-figure potential donors. So that's where we are, and I hope that, first of all, I should have thanked you guys. Y'all were the major and proactive group that got behind us early, and without that, there's no way we could be where we are today. Thank you.
Thank you. Tommy, thank you so much for coming and presenting this. One of the things that we talked about that I just want to share, and then anybody else who has thoughts, was that when there isn't any information, people start to wonder, is anything happening? And so that's why I called Tommy and I said, well, where are we on things? Are there some things that need to be updated? Because it'd be great for the public, for our citizens to know. And this is not the main thing, but since we're the Economic Development Committee, I'll just say, when in the beginning, when we were looking at making a donation to the center and museum, we talked about the economic development impact for Mount Pleasant, both in terms of hotels and restaurants being patronized, but also tourists coming because of the wonderful addition to Patriots Point and wonderful addition for our country that this will be. And so anyway, it's wonderful to hear this update. Also, I wanted to mention, when I talked to Tommy and asked him if there was anything to bring, and he surprised me with this incredible presentation, I did ask about bringing our own Medal of Honor recipient, because we all know General Livingston, and he's been not only the major force behind all of this, but also a true champion of leadership, both in terms of his history and currently. And it just so happened, because I was going to invite him as well today, and it just so happened he was going to Boston, I believe. Is that right?
Actually, it was in, I think I told you, Boston. He was going to West Virginia, mm-hmm. And this is a great story. There's only one World War II recipient still living, and he turned 98 on Saturday. And General Livingston went to his birthday party in West Virginia. His name is Woody Williams, and I think, Tom, you
mm-hmm.
met Woody.
I think I met him, too.
He is a dynamo. you wouldn't know he's 98. You'd think he was 58. He just moves around, does a lot of things. And, you know, the last World War II recipient, it's really kind of sad in a way, but wow, and you know, the general is very respectful of Woody Williams, who's also a Marine, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's where he may be back by now. I'm not sure.
I think you were saying you didn't think he'd be back, so
I didn't think
he would, so
but, yeah.
So, but I just want to, that actually solidifies why we need to move forward and why it's so great that they are moving forward so successfully, because we don't want to see a lot more of these folks pass away before they even get a chance to see this come to fruition. So does anybody have any comments, thoughts, questions?
Just a comment. Thank you. I mean, you've been the driving force, and we appreciate you doing this. It's important to our community to keep this thing moving.
Well, I invite you all there to be there on May 27th, 2024, for the ribbon cutting. It's going to be an exciting day, not just in Mount Pleasant, but in this nation.
Sure.
Thank you.
It certainly will. Thank you so much. Or anything?
It's exciting.
Very exciting. Our next item, number 6, is an update regarding the redevelopment of vacant commercial spaces. And I do want to say, I try very hard to get information out on social media in a positive way. I try to post what's going on, ribbon cutting, share things for that the town has posted when we have things. And one of the things that happens is when you announce brand new things, sometimes people say, well, what about just using our spaces that are empty now? And people don't always realize that we actually have a program very dedicated to that. We started it in a very robust way during COVID. We actually had it through Zoom meetings with both the CRDA and the Charleston County Economic Development Organization. And so Lauren, our business development, no, that's not her title. It's a very official title, government liaison. Anyway, it's a very official title, is going to give us an update on this because we've had some great successes. So thank you, Lauren.
We have. Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. I don't know how I follow the Medal of Honor and Lee Greenwood, but I will certainly do my best. And you're correct. We put together this presentation. It was actually supposed to just kind of be an update to committee, and it ended up being so successful that we keep it updated on a monthly basis. We provide it to CRDA and Charleston County, who they get a lot of the hits and prospective clients first. And so they pass this along, and it was easiest just to keep it in a visual format. So that's where we are, and our planning staff and our business and communication staff have put a really unique spin on it just to make it more visually interesting and to show folks, here's the maximum height that you can have, here's some of your zoning, how many spaces we have in each one. breakdown by square footage, just, you know, if you happen to know you have a very specific square footage requirement, and then we break it down by sites. Now, this is a very lengthy presentation. It's about 50 slides in total. I'm not going to go through all of that today. I know I saw some looks. I just want to focus on some of the big ones, but certainly we've had some smaller ones, too, that have recently been filled in by new businesses. We just did a ribbon cutting last week for Liam John across the street. They filled in the former Carpentier's space, and the owner told us that his wife wanted to move to Mount Pleasant, and they said, okay, let's find a spot. And that was a spot that worked very well for them. They're already seeing tremendous success, and we cut the ribbon there last week. Contender Esports, another one at Town Center, used to be Portrait Innovations, sat vacant for a very long time. That has come in as an e-gaming spot and is already booming. They are fully staffed. They have events every single night. The weekends are packed out, birthday parties, the whole shebang. So we're definitely seeing a lot of success with this program. So former Bilo on Ben Sawyer. Here's kind of what folks see when we put together a slide, try to give them a little bit of background about the property itself. And this one, what's been proposed, is a office and retail use, and we kind of give folks an update on where it is. Rezoning Impact Assessment Planning Committee on October 4th, we'll be hearing that one. So very excited to see that project come forward. Through the process, we do have another Bilo, former Bilo space, that is up for grabs right now. It's a Halloween store, and there was a lot of chatter on social media this weekend about where is the Halloween store this year. Well, here it is. It's at the former Bilo on Highway 17. And of course, the former Greenwise, no building permit applications there, but there definitely has been some interest in that space as of late, particularly with Bull and Finch opening. There's a lot more foot traffic in that area. Cracker Barrel, you know, is still up for grabs, as well as Carrabba's. I do want to point out Oyster Park Commercial. This was one that when we started this program, they had a number of vacancies. And as we have, you know, carried this forward several months, they're almost entirely permitted at this point and filled. So that's very exciting to see. Former Jim and Nick's off of Highway 17, proposed Regents Bank. That one is currently under construction. You can see that moving along. Zoo Bar off of Ben Sawyer. It's going to be a coffee shop. Nothing at Long Point Grill right now. Move along to some of these others. Market at Oakland. We're pending final inspections. Two tenant outfits under review currently. That one is moving along nicely. Bowman Place, the former Kitchen and Company store. That will be Lidl Food Market. So that'll be exciting to have that large space in the shopping center that has quite a bit of traffic finally filled. And the former Miller Cadillac lot. This is a site that has obviously had a significant amount of attention over the past few years. It is going proposed to be commercial development, and it's got a whole site plan, car wash, 7-Eleven that you'll see, some various commercial entities plugged in here, and then their accessory uses, you know, the vacuum area and whatnot for the car wash. Papa Zuzu's being turned into a juicing store. Shrimp and Grits, this is one that was a tremendous change around. So it was the former Eckerd, or at least it was when I was growing up, and then it sat vacant for many years. It was a destination for the Halloween store for several years. And then Shrimp and Grits, which is a very successful children's store, moved into that larger space. They've occupied it, and it is packed all the time. I can attest to that one. Moultrie Plaza, this is another area that we're seeing some movement. You've got a couple of larger spaces in there with the Southern Accent Showcase area, the former Bamboo Restaurant, and the former Wild Wings, which I'll get to the Wild Wings in just a moment. We've had some interesting, inquiries, things like art galleries and whatnot, and these spaces, nothing has moved forward yet, except for the Wild Wings portion, which I'll get to in a moment. We've had some feasibility meetings about the former Arby's, Rusty Rudder. That new restaurant is under construction. The Wild Wings I was talking about, it's actually going to be broken into several different businesses. So I think we've got like a cycling shop, and the paint store is expanding. So we've got several different businesses that are going into that one. So good reuse of that property. And then the Pivotal Fitness, this is one that's currently under DRT review. They've got a really exciting plan with some restaurant and some more gathering space. We heard from the gathering presentation earlier, but similar kind of concept, an open air place where different restaurants can kind of share a space and families and groups can come together and just gather, hang out, and have a good time. We've got a proposed Dunkin' Donuts in the corner of Highway 17 and 41. The Stein Mart at Bell Hall has recently been occupied with a furnishings store, so we worked with them to come and get permitted and get set up. So they are they're permitted and moving forward. Town Center, that area is just kind of always going to be in flux, but they are successfully filling spots there. We're starting to see some more interesting things coming out, performances and whatnot, in their new renovated spaces, the parks and whatnot. So definitely some more traffic and interest in that area. And then, of course, the Bylow off of Shalmore, upfits are under review. Wildflower count, is moving forward on that one. No permit applications for Sticky Fingers or Harris Teeter. We do have a sign permit issued for Simply Mac at Atlantic Game and Tackle off of the Frontage Road here. And then, again, some smaller spaces here and there that we've had some feasibility meetings, but nothing concrete submitted at this point in time. So we're seeing, again, tremendous success. Folks are coming here. Everyone that we talk to, it's always the same story. They want to be here. They want to live in Mount Pleasant, and they want to conduct their business here. I will say that for 2021, despite it still being experiencing the remnants of COVID-19, we are set to actually establish a record for the most number of new business ribbon cuttings in 1 year. So we are packed. We're to the point of having to like push people off to the next month because we simply cannot fit any more ribbon cuttings into a single month. So business is booming here. We're happy to see things moving along. But if you have questions about anything, I'm happy to answer anything that you have.
Well, thank you so much, Lauren. So a couple things I wanted to say. One of the interesting, well, people say, well, gee, this is business development. Is that really economic development? The interesting thing is by doing what both Ms. Sims worked on, as well as Christiane Farrell, our deputy town administrator, which was to actually, based on some Zoom meetings we had last year during the height of the pandemic, is they started, we joined the commercial realtors luncheon thing that they have, to let people know Mount Pleasant is open for business and we want to do that. I'll just share, because this is perhaps our second to last committee meeting together, Mr. O'Rourke and I, we worked very hard early on to try to reduce some of the real impediments that people have. We can't do anything about our land costs, but we did try to work on the impact fees because despite what some people think, if you can't get the business to come here at all because, say, a restaurant has to pay $250,000 just to have the privilege of being in Mount Pleasant before they buy land or lease a space, unfortunately, there's no long-term revenue there. So the long-term revenue has to come in order for you to have this business, the services, and the jobs that come with that. The other impediments we do have our very expensive land costs. We do have the impact fees, but we also have the issue of finding workers. So it's a complicated thing, but by doing this, where at least people in the business community throughout the region know what we have available and what we can reuse rather than clearing new spaces, it helps us a lot. Does anybody else have any thoughts or questions? Thank you so much for that update. Oh, I wanted to mention one other thing. We had a ribbon cutting that was so interesting the other week. Speaking of Bylows, the Bylow off of Shelmore has now been totally, if you haven't been there yet, you have to walk in the front door. It is unbelievable. We had a ribbon cutting for Wildflower Center for Counseling. They're the first tenant. And in that space, they have turned it into this amazing interior design, you know, just exhibit or showcase. As soon as you walk in the door, you see incredible chandelier and lighting and all kinds of things. Very, very modern, but very cool. And so please keep in mind, we want to continue to bring great businesses. And our people in the town of Mount Pleasant, our citizens, are the best source for word of mouth bringing great businesses here. So please know we have this available. And wow, we're right at 11. So is there anything else for the good of the committee?
No. Everything's.
Diane, thank you so much again for joining. Thank you so much again for joining us today, and hope you can take some good notes back to your counterpart there. And I hope everyone has a wonderful week. This meeting is adjourned.
Good job.